Welcome, I'm Rose Aguilar, and this is Your Call. It's day two of the confirmation hearings for Senator Jeff Sessions, Donald Trump's pick to be U.S. Attorney General. Yesterday's hearing, which lasted almost 11 hours, was disrupted several times by citizens who oppose the nomination. Unlike most of Donald Trump's appointees, Jeff Sessions has a long political record. 30 years ago, his nomination to be a federal judge was rejected by a Republican-controlled Senate committee after his former deputy, Thomas Figures, who is black, said Jeff Sessions told him to be careful about what he said to, quote, white folks, and called him boy on multiple occasions. That committee voted 10-8 to block Jeff Sessions' nomination. He went on to become Attorney General of Alabama in 1994, and then 2 years later, he was elected to the U.S. Senate, where he remains. As a senator, Jeff Sessions has called for harsher punishments for drug crimes, tougher immigration enforcement. He voted against expanding health care, except to extend coverage to fetuses, while removing pregnant women from the state children's health insurance program. He opposed legislation protecting the rights of women and the LGBTQ community from violence, and he has backed Donald Trump's ban on Muslims. In fact, he was one of Donald Trump's first major supporters. Joining me today to talk about the nomination of Jeff Sessions as Attorney General are two guests. Ty Alper is one of the 1,400 law school professors who urged Congress to reject Senator Jeff Sessions' nomination. In a letter to the Senate Judiciary Committee, the group, which represents 170 law schools in 48 states, argues that Jeff Sessions, quote, would not fairly enforce our nation's laws and promote justice and equality in the United States, end quote. Ty Alper is a clinical professor of law at the UC Berkeley Law School. He was a staff attorney at the Southern Center for Human Rights in Atlanta, where he represented Alabama and Georgia death row inmates. And Ty Alper joins us from Berkeley. Hi, Ty. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Rose. Thanks for having me.
Well, it's great to have you. Thank you. We are also joined today by Bernard Simelton Sr., president of the Alabama NAACP. Last week, he and five other civil rights leaders were arrested during a sit-in at Senator Jeff Sessions' mobile office in Alabama to oppose the nomination. Bernard Simelton is in his fifth year as president of the Alabama NAACP, and the NAACP just testified at Jeff Sessions' hearing, and Bernard joins us on the line from Washington, where he is attending that hearing. Hi, Bernard. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Rose. How are you doing?
I'm good. Thank you so much for taking a break from the hearing. Okay. A lot of attention has been given to Jeff Sessions in the media, and I wanted to ask you both a very simple question, and that is, Jeff Sessions, if he's confirmed, will be the U.S. Attorney General. Ty Alper, what does the U.S. Attorney General do?
Well, it's an incredibly powerful, important position, maybe the most important position in the cabinet. The Attorney General is the top law enforcement officer in the United States. So, for example, when Kamala Harris was the Attorney General of California, she referred to herself as the top cop in California. Jeff Sessions will be the top cop in the United States, and he will have broad jurisdiction and broad discretion over the enforcement of all of our nation's federal laws, civil rights, voting, immigration, environmental, employment, national security, anti-terrorist, housing, surveillance. So it's an responsibility and its enormous amount of discretion to place in one person. And the person that Donald Trump has selected, as we know, is Jeff Sessions.
And a simple way to put all of that is that the Attorney General will swear to enforce and uphold all laws in the United States?
Well, that's true. And prosecutors, which is what he will be, the top prosecutor, have enormous discretion. So not only will he swear to uphold all of the laws, he will have to exercise his discretion in terms of where the Department of Justice focuses its energy and its resources. And that's why I think so many people are concerned, frightened by the prospect of his leadership of that department.
And Bernard, what would you add to that? Can you talk about just how powerful this position really is?
Well, he's extremely powerful when it comes to everything from enforcing criminal laws and also the Voting Rights Act. You know, a person in his position will be able to determine what resources he divert to investigating voter suppression throughout the United States, and also, you know, enforcing things that the Trump administration is talking about, bringing back the stop and frisk policy and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. He will be responsible for that, and that, of course, could possibly lead to an increase in our individuals being arrested, in particular the African Americans that would be arrested on an increasing number, as well as being incarcerated. And already, you know, he's talking about building more, you know, federal prisons, and of course that also probably lead to more state prisons being built as well.
And to that point, Bernard, since you are at the hearing, what struck me about Jeff Sessions' opening remarks yesterday is that he mentioned the word crime 14 times in his short opening remarks. And I searched the entire day's transcript. Poverty didn't come up once. I'm not sure if lack of opportunity came up because it was 11 hours and I didn't watch the whole thing. But what struck you about that? That he talked about how he's going to crack down on violent crime, and he talked about it 14 times in his opening statement.
Well, I mean, that's what he's all about. He's and all about locking up more people that, you know, commit crimes. And no, we, the NAACP is certainly for a crime-free society, and we know that's not going to happen. But we don't think that because a person commits a, you know, petty amount of crime, or even, you know, does sell drugs or something like that, that that should be a life sentence for them. And so that's our concern, is what is going to be, how is he going to enforce, and what is he going to tell his federal prosecutors and how to prosecute these crimes. And then, the, you know, the federal prosecution, it overflows into, you know, how kind of some states and local jurisdiction, you know, prosecute. Not as a, it's not a direct relation correlation, but it certainly is a indirect correlation.
And Ty, as a staff attorney at the Southern Center for Human Rights in Atlanta, you represented Alabama and Georgia death row inmates. What struck you about Senator Sessions' focus on cracking down on crime without talking about why crime exists in the first place?
As Bernard mentioned, this is completely consistent with his approach to criminal justice and his record as a U.S. attorney, as the Attorney General of Alabama, and as a senator. You know, there's a growing consensus, even among conservative politicians, that the approach, the tough-on-crime approach of the 80s and the 90s that led to the highest incarceration rates in the world is misguided, it's discriminatory, it's expensive, it's bad public policy. Jeff Sessions has not made that switch. He is a throwback to this tough-on-crime era that Bernard just mentioned, and so it's not surprising that he mentioned crime in his remarks yesterday and did not discuss overcrowding in prisons, excessive sentencing, abuse of power, politicized sentencing. He's one of the few right-wing senators who opposed bipartisan comprehensive sentencing reform that the Senate, that was before the Senate in the past couple of years. So there's no reason to think that as Attorney General he will do anything other than continue to fuel mass incarceration that is one of the greatest shames of our criminal justice system.
If he is confirmed and becomes Attorney General, how quickly can things shift? How quickly will we feel the shifts? And just in terms of the policies that he plans to implement, if he does decide to embrace this law and order motto that we're hearing from Donald Trump, I mean, how quickly will we see those changes?
Well, much of the vast majority of criminal justice work that goes on in this country is done at the state level. So he won't be able to affect state prosecutions, for example. But again, the U.S. attorney is an enormously powerful position. I think that we will see an end to many of the progressive programs and litigation initiatives of the current Department of Justice that attempted to address issues like suppression of voting rights and overcrowding in prisons. So the progressive policies of the current administration, I think, will probably, unfortunately, cease immediately. And then I think it will remain to be seen what he chooses to focus on. Is he going to crack down on immigration? Is he going to crack down on what he perceives to be voter fraud, which I think is a thinly veiled attempt to suppress the African-American vote in this country. So where he places his priorities and his resources, I think, remains to be seen. But it will be a dramatic shift, to be sure.
And Bernard, you took part in a sit-in. I'm sorry about that noise. We're trying to figure out where that's coming from, but it's very piercing. You took part in a sit-in at Senator Jeff Sessions' office in Alabama to oppose his nomination. You were arrested. Can you talk more about your concerns specifically on crime? Jeff Sessions has also opposed bills to reduce minimums for certain drug crimes.
Right. And yes, we took place, had a sit-in last week in his office in Mobile, Alabama. But the purpose of that was to draw attention to the nation that we are not happy, we're not supporting the nomination of Jeff Sessions as the Attorney General. And, you know, his record on, we think that he will continue to push for more crime legislation. Again, I know he's not a he's not making policy, but he certainly can influence, and we think he will be a person that pushes Congress for tougher laws on everything from immigration, tougher laws on crime in terms of minor crime and heavier sentences for minor crimes that people commit. You know, the President Obama has commuted the sentence of several hundred thousand people. I mean, not hundreds of thousands, but several thousand people. And, I mean, these are people who have committed minor crime, but, you know, have long sentences. And the reason he commuted the sentence was to, you know, get them out of jail so that they can become productive member of society again. And with Jeff Sessions as Attorney General, you know, he's going to fight against that and to do everything he can to keep people, you know, behind bars and just build more prison to put people in.
I was struck yesterday, Ty, by Senator Dick Durbin, who brought a former drug dealer with him to the hearing. And he said, you know, Jeff Sessions, if you were in charge, this man would not be out of jail because his sentence was reduced. President Obama reduced his sentence. Can you talk a little bit about what that was like? In fact, Dick Durbin asked Jeff Sessions to look at the man, basically meet this man. He's now out of jail and he wants to move on with his life. He was really young when he was arrested. Ty, are you with us? Did we lose Ty? Okay, I think we're having some phone problems. Bernard, you were in the room. Can you explain what that was like, what that moment was like? Did we also lose Bernard? Bernard, are you with us?
Oh, okay, I'm sorry. I didn't hear the question again.
Oh, I was struck by the moment yesterday when Senator Dick Durbin brought in a man who had been arrested for a drug crime when he was young, recently got out of prison. I believe his name is Alton Mills, and he asked Jeff Sessions to meet the man. He said, Jeff Sessions, this is Alton Mills, and he got out of prison, but you oppose reducing sentences for drug crimes. He would still be in prison if you had your way. Can you explain what that exchange looked like and
Well, I mean, I was not actually, I saw part of that. I wasn't actually in there when that full exchange took place. But, I mean, what happened in this case, this is certainly a perfect example of, you know, I think where Jeff Sessions would be opposed to, you know, commuting his sentence and, you know, allowing this man to get out and serve his community and his country by being, you know, a contributor to society rather than being locked up in prison and just, you know, staying there and not being able to contribute. So, again, I wasn't there when the exchange took place, but, I mean, these are the kinds of things that we are concerned about, that Jeff Sessions would say, well, you know, just let him stay in there. You know, he did the crime, let him, you know, do the time. But that's not always the case. You know, you need to look at these and see what people we can let out of jail, because some of them were minor crimes. They were, in his case, it was not anything, no weapons or anything involved. It was just him, you know, selling drugs. And that should not not be a life sentence for a person, and it very well could have been if President Obama did not intervene.
Tyra, are you back with us?
I am.
Okay. I wanted to ask you what you thought of that exchange yesterday between Senator Dick Durbin, a Democrat from Illinois, and Jeff Sessions. Dick Durbin invited Alton Mills, a former Chicago drug dealer who once faced a life sentence, who's now out of jail, and he is now fighting mandatory minimums. And Dick Durbin said, I'd like you to meet this man. He's now out of jail. And he said, Jeff Sessions, if you had your way, he would still be in jail. He was 25 years old when he was convicted on drug charges back in 1994. Did you watch that exchange?
I don't think I saw that exchange. But it doesn't surprise me. I mean, again, I think Jeff Sessions is a throwback to a conservative and failed approach to criminal justice, which suggests, and I think that maybe Bernard was just making this point, that anybody who commits a crime related to drugs should be thrown away and should be locked up with the key thrown away, and that there's no possibility for redemption or becoming a productive member of society, which we know is not true. But that's what sells in terms of politics in many jurisdictions in this country, and I think Jeff Sessions' career is a testament to that. And this choice is a very political choice. He's a politician, and a tough on crime approach to his policy has served him very well in his career. And I don't think he meets many people like the person that Senator Durbin presented to him. I don't think he has shown any caring for the most marginalized members of our society who end up in our jails and prisons and who have a great deal to contribute to society, but don't have the option to do that, don't have the potential to do that, because they're the victims of mandatory minimums and excessive sentencing policies that really defined our criminal justice system for the last few decades.
And Ty, you have, again, represented death row inmates in Alabama and Georgia, and Jeff Sessions was Attorney General of Alabama back in 1994.
Right.
2 years later, he was elected to the Senate. Based on the experiences you've had with him and watching what he's done in Alabama, what can you tell us about his record and what it will reveal about how he will, you know, govern as an attorney general, and if he'll be a sort of a lock-em-up attorney general?
Well, I think there's no question that he will be. He was attorney general in Alabama for a couple years. He was the U.S. attorney in Alabama before that. When he was Alabama's capital punishment system has been tainted by racial discrimination and racial bias, particularly in jury selection, for years. And that was certainly the case when he was in office. And rather than doing anything about it that would show some concern, he defended the capital prosecutions and the death sentences of African-American defendants who had juries that were all white juries, where all the African-American potential jurors were excluded. Really outrageous, blatant racial discrimination in some of these cases that his office, that he personally defended. So again, I think it's consistent with his overall record, but there's certainly nothing in his brief tenure as the Attorney General in Alabama that would give any reasonable person any confidence that he was going to be concerned about racial discrimination in our criminal justice system.
That is Ty Alper. He's one of the 1,400 law school professors urging Congress to reject Senator Jeff Sessions' nomination to become the next attorney general. And you can find that letter online at yourcallradio.org. Ty Alper is a clinical professor of law at the UC Berkeley Law School. We're also joined by Bernard Simelton, president of the Alabama NAACP. Bernard and five other civil rights leaders were arrested last week during a sit-in at Senator Jeff Sessions' office in Alabama to oppose his nomination. And Bernard, we talked about crime and where he stands on sentencing. What else concerns you about Jeff Sessions? What else is at the top of your list?
Right. His stance on voting rights. The Shelby decision back in 2013 put a big dent in what we consider the bread and butter of the Voting Rights Act, and that's when they took away Section 4B of the Voting Rights Act that said these jurisdictions and changes in their voting precincts or polling places or anything like that had to be cleared by the Justice Department. And of course, the Shelby decision took that away. And so essentially that nullified Section 5 of the Voting Rights Act, which is actually the pre-clearance portion rather than Section 4B. And now what that means to the average voter is that, you know, if your polling place changed and there's some states and some, well, I would say some jurisdictions that change polling places to either over put all the blacks in one district or either sparse them out so much that they won't have a any voting strength, and you can continuously elect the same person over and over again while the same person essentially from the same party. You won't get a good mix. And so with Jeff Sessions as the Attorney General, you know, we look to him and come to him for guidance or direction on how to proceed when we're trying to make changes to that. But with him at the helm, we don't think we'll be able to get any kind of agreement from him that he's going to look into these cases that we bring to him for review. And so essentially, well, the only way that you can do have any impact is to for you to sue, you being, you know, a voter, to sue yourself, and that can be very costly, and we don't have the protection of the federal government, and that is a certainly a major concern of ours.
Since the Shelby decision, Bernard, have there been, or what new laws have affected people's voting rights in Alabama?
You say what now?
What new laws have affected people's voting rights in Alabama Shelby decision?
Well, the photo ID law, Alabama passed, I think it's 3 years ago now, the photo ID law that required you to have a photo ID. And I know a lot of people will say, well, you know, what's the problem with that? Well, when they passed that law, there were approximately 500,000 people who immediately were disenfranchised because they didn't have the required photo ID. Now, Alabama, you know, they tried to say, well, you know, we will assist people in getting the photo ID. We will have a mobile photo ID unit that will be able to come out and help you get your ID. But the problem is, one of the problems is getting the correct documentation, whether it's a birth certificate, you know, marriage license or something to prove who you are. And there's a lot of poor and particularly blacks, elderly, who may not never had a birth certificate when they were born. They, you know, and they may not have a driver license and may not be able to prove, you know, who they are through that. And so that is a concern of ours, that this, you know, that it's just, you know, major concern of ours that the Voting Rights Act just really took away that. And with, again, with Alabama requiring the photo ID, it just made it more difficult for people to vote without having some additional credentials. And see, and you know, they're claiming that there have been some voter fraud, but, you know, I think there's been maybe one case that's been prosecuted in the state of Alabama where someone voted saying they were someone else. It's not, you know, that it's not rampant at all, and you know, it just doesn't exist. And they're trying to find a cure to a problem that does not exist, rather than trying to make it easier for people to vote.
Right.
Earlier, make it more difficult.
A piece about this in Think Progress points out that Alabama is about one third black, and Jeff Sessions voted about a decade ago to renew the Voting Rights Act when it was up for reauthorization in Congress. That
right.
vote came at a time when supporting voting rights was not a controversial partisan issue. Since then, he has called the Voting Rights Act, quote, a piece of intrusive legislation, and his record in Alabama paints a picture of how he will handle voting voting rights as Attorney General. Ty, how will Senator Sessions, if he becomes Attorney General, handle voting rights issues?
Well, I think there's a great deal of concern about that. He is someone who sees voter fraud where it doesn't exist, and he doesn't see racial discrimination where it clearly exists. And I think that's what Bernard was referring to. Just a day after the Shelby County decision, Alabama passed its or announced that it would enforce its voter photo ID law. North Carolina, just a few months later, enacted a similar law that included a strict voter ID requirement, and a federal court later found that the North Carolina law was targeting African Americans with almost surgical precision. These are laws that Senator Sessions will champion, I think, and that's incredibly problematic. He, as you mentioned in the opening, was one of the earliest supporters, one of the only supporters in the Senate for Donald Trump, who has claimed without any evidence that millions of people voted illegally in the last election, which he won. And Senator Sessions has been his strongest supporter. I think that's probably the reason why he's sitting in the nominee chair today for Attorney General. Hmm. But I think it's important to go back to the reason why the Republican-led Senate rejected Sessions' nomination for a much less consequential, still important, but much less consequential position of federal trial judge back in 1986. It was in part because of racist comments that he was alleged to have made by people who worked with him, but also because of his misguided and unsuccessful prosecution of African-American voter rights activists in Alabama. This is a long track record of hostility to the African-American participation in our democracy going back decades. And the latest iteration is hostility to the Voting Rights Act, which you mentioned that he called intrusive, and his support for laws like the ones in Alabama, North Carolina, and other states that have the effect and, in fact, the intent to suppress the African-American vote.
I'm glad you brought this up, because in most media reports about Senator Jeff Sessions' nomination to be federal judge, and it was rejected by a Republican-controlled Senate, in most of the reports, we hear about him calling former Deputy Thomas Figures, who is black, a boy on multiple occasions. We're not really hearing much else. And I'm glad you brought this up, because this Think Progress report points out that in 1985, then a U.S. attorney in Alabama, Jeff Sessions led the prosecution of three African-American civil rights activists, accusing them of committing voter fraud by forging absentee ballots they collected through a registration drive. And according to this piece, this case has become a notorious example of Republican-led efforts to suppress votes in the name of voter fraud.
That's right. And not only was it unsuccessful, the jury, which was made up of black jurors and white jurors, acquitted these defendants in just a few hours, but it had the effect, it sent a signal from the top law enforcement officer in that state at the time, Jeff Sessions, that efforts to increase voting among African-American voters was going to be met with potential prosecution by the federal government. It had an incredibly chilling effect on black political participation. And again, I think is consistent with everything we know about Jeff Sessions and his record.
Ty Alper is a clinical professor of law at the UC Berkeley Law School. He's one of the 1,400 law school professors urging Congress to reject Senator Jeff Sessions' nomination to become Attorney General. We're also joined by Bernard Simelton, president of the Alabama NAACP. Last week, Bernard and five other civil rights leaders were arrested during a sit-in at one of Senator Jeff Sessions' offices in Alabama to oppose his nomination. This is Your Call, and we'll be back after this.
This is Your Call on KALW, local public radio. If you have a perspective you haven't heard in today's discussion, or a question that you feel needs to be answered, please join the conversation by calling 866-798-8255. That's 866-798-8255, toll free. You can also send an email to feedback@yourcallradio.org or post a comment or question at today's at our show's website, which is yourcallradio.org, or you may tweet us at yourcallradio. Coming up in a half an hour at 11 o'clock, it's the BBC's World Have Your Say, amongst many other things. They'll be talking about Donald Trump's press conference this morning. Stay tuned.
This is Your Call. I'm Rose Aguilar. Coming up tomorrow, we'll have a conversation about what has changed for San Francisco's homeless population under the city's new homeless director, Jeff Kaczynski. Last year, Mayor Ed Lee announced plans to launch a new department to permanently end homelessness with an annual budget of about $220. But now that program faces cuts to mental health services, housing subsidies for seniors and people with disabilities. So what explains this move and how will it affect people who are on the streets of San Francisco? If you have a show idea or a guest idea, you can drop us a line, feedback@yourcallradio.org. Today, we are talking about Senator Jeff Sessions and his confirmation hearing for U.S. Attorney General. It's day two of the confirmation hearing. It started yesterday. It was almost 11 hours. Now, unlike most of Donald Trump's nominees, Jeff Sessions actually has a long political record. He voted against the Violence Against Women Act. He called Roe one of the worst Supreme Court decisions of all time. He has vowed to step up prosecutions of gun crimes. He has an A-plus grade from the NRA. So if you have any comments or questions about Jeff Sessions, we'd love to hear from you. The toll-free number is 866-798-8255. Also, if you are an attorney or you work in law enforcement, what are your thoughts on Senator Sessions' record? 866-798-8255. You can also email feedback@yourcallradio.org or leave a comment on Facebook or social media. Today, we're joined by Ty Alper, clinical professor of law at the UC Berkeley Law School. Ty is one of 1,400 law school professors that sent a letter to the Senate Judiciary Committee urging them to reject Senator Jeff Sessions' nomination. Bernard Simelton is president of the Alabama NAACP. Last week, he and five other civil rights leaders were arrested during a sit-in at Senator Jeff Sessions' office in Alabama to oppose his nomination. I wanted to ask both of you about just these hearings. Ty, you're a lawyer, and you know, when you watch these hearings, when a senator says, are you going to enforce the Violence Against Women Act law, even though you voted against it? Of course, Jeff Sessions is going to say yes. I mean, I don't think I've ever heard anyone say, I'm not going to do that. So can you talk a little bit about what struck you about some of these exchanges? A lot of it wasn't that surprising, but how will someone like a Jeff Sessions enforce a law that he voted against?
Well, I think it's a great question. So And you mentioned this just now, with respect to many of Donald Trump's nominees, they don't have much of a public record. And so I think we will learn more from their confirmation hearings than we will from Senator Sessions' confirmation hearings. Nothing he says, even if it's in 11 hours over the course of a day, is going to change or erase or cause us to forget his long history of his long record as a U.S. attorney, as an attorney general of Alabama, and as a senator. So, yeah, of course he's going to say that he's going to uphold the law. You know, some of the questions that he had to answer, I think, are kind of a remarkable reflection on our times. The fact that he had to say that he believes that it does constitute sexual assault to grab a woman's genitals without their permission, which he said does not sound like sexual assault during the campaign when he was supporting Donald Trump. The fact that he had to answer that question, I think, is a reflection of where we are. But it's not, you know, his answer is not surprising. I think, of course, he's going to say that. What I think is kind of outrageous and really cynical is the attempt to portray Sessions as a civil rights leader, as a civil rights hero, someone who has cared about civil rights over the course of his career, when the body of his record demonstrates anything but that.
I want to play a clip because while the civil rights issues, the voting rights issues, and crime are getting a lot of attention, where Jeff Sessions stands on women's issues, abortion, for example, violence against women, is not really getting much attention. And I want to play this clip from California Senator Dianne Feinstein questioning Senator Jeff Sessions yesterday about abortion, same-sex marriage, and civil rights. And this starts off with Roe v. Wade.
You have referred to Roe v. Wade as, quote, one of the worst, colossally erroneous Supreme Court decisions of all time, end quote. Is that still your view?
It is. I believe it violated the Constitution and really attempted to set policy and not follow law. It is the law of the land. It has been so established and settled for quite a long time. And it deserves respect, and I would respect it and follow it.
The president-elect said that the issue of same-sex marriage was, quote, already settled. It's law. It was settled in the Supreme Court. It's done, and I'm fine with that. Do you agree that the issue of same-sex marriage is settled law?
Supreme Court has ruled on that. The dissents dissented vigorously, but it was 5-4. And 5 justices on the Supreme Court, a majority of the court, has established the definition of marriage for the entire United States of America, and I will follow that decision.
How do you intend to put behind you what are strongly felt personal views, take off the political hat, and be an attorney general who fairly enforces the law and the Constitution for all?
This caricature of me in 1986 was not correct. I had become United States attorney. I supported, as the civil rights attorney said, major civil rights cases in my district that integrated schools, that prosecuted the Klan, that ended single-member districts, that denied African-Americans the right to hold office. I did everything I was required to do. And the complaints about the voter fraud case and the complaints about the Klan case that I vigorously prosecuted and supported are false. And I do hope this hearing today will show that I conducted myself honorably and properly at that time, and that I am the same person, perhaps wiser and maybe a little better, I hope so, today than I was then. But I did not harbor the kind of animosities and race-based discrimination ideas that were I was accused of. I did not.
And that was Senator Jeff Sessions answering a question from California Senator Dianne Feinstein yesterday. Bernard, Senator Sessions said this many times yesterday, also in his opening statements, that he did not harbor that kind of the discrimination that he's been accused of over the past 30 years. What's your response to that?
Well, my response is very clear. You can say one thing, but your record speaks to something different. He has not supported immigration. He has not supported the things like the Matthew Shepard Act. He has not supported expansion of the Voting Rights Act. He has not supported, I talked about immigration. So, I mean, those are some key pieces of legislation that he has not supported. So he can say anything he wants to, but when his record speaks for itself as to his position, that's what you got to look at, you know. And as I said often, you know, he does not use the terminology boy anymore, maybe, you know, at least not in public. But for him to, even in 1986, for him to call an assistant U.S. attorney boy and tell him he needs to know how to talk, learn how to talk to white folks, you know, that's, I mean, within itself, and I know he's disputed it, but, you know, I don't think Mr. Figures had any reason to lie. And it was somewhat corroborated by Mr. Hebert, who, from the Justice Department, you know, who was a white. So, you know, Senator Sessions can say one thing, but his record speaks something totally different.
Ty, Senator Sessions said Roe v. Wade is one of the worst Supreme Court decisions ever, and I wanted to get your take on another issue that's not getting much attention. Dr. Willie Parker, who's the board chair of Physicians for Reproductive Health and is an abortion provider at the only clinic in Mississippi that provides abortions, put out a statement opposing the nomination. He says that the DOJ is the department that most affects the safety of abortion providers and patients, and its authority is far-reaching. As Attorney General, Jeff Sessions will be responsible for directing work of the National Task Force on Violence Against Health Providers, including its resources. Sessions' record clearly calls into question his ability to enforce the freedom of access to clinic entrances and to fairly prosecute federal crimes targeting abortion providers. We have seen a rise in violence against clinics, against clinic workers over the years, and a lot of people think it's going to get worse under Donald Trump. Can you talk a little bit about the role that Jeff Sessions will play in ensuring the safety of these clinics and clinic workers, doctors, and patients?
Yeah, so I think it comes down to discretion. You know, you asked earlier, how can he enforce a law that he disagrees with? And, you know, he can say at his confirmation hearing, Roe v. Wade is the law, same-sex marriage is the law, and I will follow the law. But that doesn't answer the question of how is he going to exercise his discretion as the Attorney General. So, for example, with respect to protecting abortion providers, will he put resources, the resources of the Department of Justice, into that kind of protection? Or will he instead, which he's not required to do, he can decide how to allocate the resources of the department. He can make that protection a much lower priority than it should be and still comply with Roe versus Wade, still say he's following the law. So will he do that, or will he put his resources into, for example, cracking down on immigration, cracking down on non-existent voter fraud, cracking down on state experiments with, for example, recreational marijuana, which is a violation of federal law, but clearly within the discretion of the federal government whether to and to what extent to prosecute. So the reason why it's so concerning and why so many law faculty members across the country banded together and rose up very quickly to deliver this statement to the Judiciary Committee is that the discretion that he will assume when he takes office, if he's confirmed, really will dictate federal law enforcement policy in a very dramatic way for as long as he's the Attorney General.
Ty Alper is one of the 1,400 law school professors that sent a letter to Senate Judiciary Committee members urging them to reject Senator Jeff Sessions' nomination. He's a clinical professor of law at the UC Berkeley Law School. And Bernard Simelton is president of the Alabama NAACP. Bernard and five other civil rights leaders were arrested last week during a sit-in at Senator Sessions' office to oppose his nomination. And let's go to a few callers. Let's hear from Bill in San Francisco. Hi, Bill. Welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you. I'm really glad the issues of voter rights and reproductive rights are brought up. I'm also wondering, you know, on environmental issues and corporate abuse, you know, I don't expect this guy to be doing anything good. What is his record?
Well, thank you. We've done so much reading on this because, again, Sessions has gotten a lot of media attention, but it's mainly focused on voting rights and crime. Now, Earth Justice put out a release yesterday saying that Senator Sessions has a dismal record on the environment, climate change, and pollution control efforts. A climate change denier, Jeff Sessions has opposed nearly every piece of global warming and environmental legislation since 1990. This year, he opposed amendments in the Energy Policy Modernization Act that would have incentivized energy efficiency. Ty or Bernard, do you follow this issue on Senator Sessions and where he stands on issues that affect the environment?
Well, I'm not an expert on environmental law,
go ahead, I'm sorry. No.
Go ahead, Ty, and then Bernard.
Well, I was just going to say, people talk about the Environmental Protection Agency, the EPA, but they forget that the Justice Department has a division called the Environment and Natural Resources Division, and that division plays a key role in enforcing federal environmental laws. And I have a quote here that that corroborates what you just said about his questioning of the human contribution to climate change. On the floor of the Senate in 2014, he said, "I don't know that we know enough now to answer this question conclusively either way, but there's been a lot of exaggeration. There's been a lot of hype. People are feeling the crunch already in their electric bills. In our effort to stop storms that don't seem to be going down or to stop temperatures that don't seem to be rising." So as a climate change denier, as the president-elect is, I think that those of us who care about environmental issues should be very concerned.
And Bernard, what would you like to add?
No, I was just going to say I have not been following his record on that, but I do know that his home state has a lot of environmental issues, everything from, factory pollution, power plants pollution, and water streams being polluted. So he has not been a proponent of meeting with these companies and trying to cut down on the pollution that they are emitting into the air.
All right, and then we will put this very lengthy release from Earth Justice on our website. In terms of corporate crime, Reuters had a piece in November, and it says that Jeff Sessions may be known as a pro-business conservative, but as a U.S. Attorney General, he is unlikely to shy away from indicting big companies and individuals for serious white-collar crimes, legal experts are saying, citing his record as a lawmaker. In a 2010 confirmation hearing for James Cole, Jeff Sessions questioned the former U.S. Deputy Attorney General about the, quote, dangerous philosophy of not charging companies criminally because of concerns that doing so could lead to bankruptcy, hurt employees and shareholders. Ty, what are your thoughts on corporate crime and Jeff Sessions?
Well, I don't think it's been a priority of his, and it certainly has not been a priority of his party. If that's the case, then maybe that would be, one welcome component of his reign as Attorney General. But I don't think there's anything in his record to suggest that corporate crime is the crime that he's talking about when he wants to crack down on crime.
All right. Well, thank you for that phone call. We'll also put a link to this article at yourcallradio.org. And let's go next to Lisa in San Francisco. Hi, Lisa. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Excellent program, as usual. So I watched a little bit of the hearings, and I was particularly impressed with Franken's questioning of Sessions, in that Franken really seemed to do his research and was really calling upon Sessions' records specifically when it came to the charges of voter fraud and what he'd done in his own state of Alabama. And he started the questioning with a Trump tweet where Trump said, that he'd won the election by a landslide. And he went from there and wove in Sessions' record. And it was just really compelling and really impressive detective work. And I encourage everybody to watch that. And just as you guys were talking, I was thinking, Sessions didn't support the Lilly Ledbetter legislation, equal pay for equal women.
Right.
He voted against the violence against women legislation. His record and statements, on Roe versus Wade are just atrocious. And the whole fetal rights thing is, he's just so frightening in every aspect.
Well, thank you for bringing up the exchange between Senator Al Franken and Jeff Sessions. We'll put a link to that. And then also, one of the testier exchanges came between Senator Patrick Leahy questioning Jeff Sessions about his vote against the Violence Against Women Act. He voted against it in 2013. He said it was because it would also include women living on tribal land. And Patrick Leahy had to explain to him that non-Native men go on Native land and sexually assault or rape women. And Jeff Sessions said, I'm just learning about this now in my meetings with senators, and now that I know about it, I will implement the Violence Against Women Act. Ty, that really stood out for me. What are your thoughts on that?
I think that stood out for me too, and I think I'm glad that the caller mentioned the exchange with Senator Franken too, because one of the other aspects of that exchange had to do with Senator Sessions' support during the campaign for Donald Trump's proposed ban on Muslim immigration, which I don't think is something we've brought up yet. At the confirmation hearings yesterday, I believe Sessions walked that back a little bit. But during the campaign, he was a supporter of that proposal, which is, I think, frightening for anybody who cares about religious freedom in our country. And in addition to voting against the Violence Against Women Act and the Lilly Ledbetter Act, it's worth noting, I think, that Sessions, as a senator, voted against the confirmation of Justice Sotomayor. He voted against the confirmation of Justice Kagan. He voted against the confirmation of current Attorney General Loretta Lynch. He himself has opposed all of these candidates, and my hope is that there will be enough senators with courage to reject his nomination. Doesn't look like that's going to happen, but I'm still holding out hope.
He referred to Islam as a toxic ideology. Initially, he backed Donald Trump's ban on immigration from Muslim countries. But yesterday he said, quote, "I believe the president-elect, subsequent to that statement, made clear he believes the focus should be on individuals coming from countries that have a history of terrorism." So, Ty, what should we do with that statement?
Well, I don't know what we should do with it. I don't think it means a whole lot. I don't know why it's relevant, his interpretation of what Donald Trump is now saying about Muslim immigration or Islam. I think what the Attorney General has to be is an independent actor, independent of the president. And there was some question yesterday about, will he go after Hillary Clinton for her emails? And he said he would recuse himself from that decision. I'm much more interested in whether he will be willing to go after Donald Trump and conduct investigations into Donald Trump's activities and conflicts that raise serious national security issues that we're just learning about today and yesterday. I'm not a fan of the political investigations. I remember them from the Bill Clinton era. But I think any objective, reasonable observer of the impending Trump presidency would have to concede that there is going to be many opportunities for the Attorney General to consider whether to investigate what this president is doing. And we need an Attorney General who is willing to do that.
Just quickly, Ty, is there a history of Attorney Generals disagreeing with the president?
Yeah, there is. And I think it is clear that the best traditions of that office is as an independent body. When President-elect Trump chooses his only supporter in the Senate in the early days as the AG, that makes you wonder, I think, whether this is really just a political appointment by someone who is going to be beholden to the president instead of independent of that person.
Ty Alper is clinical professor of law at the UC Berkeley Law School. He's one of 1,400 law school professors who wrote a letter to the Senate Judiciary Committee urging them to reject Senator Jeff Sessions' nomination to be Attorney General. Bernard Simelton is president of the Alabama NAACP. He and five civil rights leaders were arrested opposing the nomination last week at Jeff Sessions' office in Alabama. Ty and Bernard, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me, Russ.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you. And coming up on tomorrow's show, we'll have a conversation about what has changed for San Francisco's homeless population under the city's new homeless director, Jeff Kaczynski. You may remember that last year, Mayor Ed Lee launched a new city department to end homelessness with an annual budget of about $20 million. But now the program faces cuts to mental health services, housing subsidies for seniors and people with disabilities, and its homeless outreach team. So what explains this? We'll have a conversation about that with Jeff Kaczynski. Your Call is produced at KALW. Laura Flynn produces the show. Malihe Raz is on as senior producer. Thanks to our volunteers, Helena Murphy and Stephanie Porcel. You can email us feedback@yourcallradio.org. I'm Rose Aguilar. Thanks for joining us.